You can imagine how difficult it is to get four in-demand guitarists together to make an album. But Buddy Miller, known for his amazing work with Emmylou Harris and others, got jazz, country, just about anything else player Bill Frisell, and New York City-based Mark Rebo, known for his work with Tom Waits and others, along with pedal steel guitar virtuoso Greg Lease, together at his house studio in Nashville to make the majestic Silver Strings. It's their take on a variety of music, but mostly vintage country classics. The band actually played only one concert together at the Grammy Museum in L.A., and that is where our performances today come from. And that's where we spoke to all four. I started out asking Buddy Miller about the origin of this idea.
Well, it just seemed like it would be a lot of fun to me. I mean, to just to get to hear my favorite players playing at my house.
Buddy was, I understand Bill was the first person you talked with about this. And why particularly on a country project? I know Bill's had a number of certainly country-influenced records in the past. Was that why you particularly wanted to work with him?
Well, Bill and I just talked really casually over just once or twice it got mentioned that Bill would mention it, and whenever he mentioned it, I would jump at the idea. It never got as far as what it was going to be, or you know, even if it would be country. I guess just assumed. I hope I didn't screw up things with that, with your plans, Bill.
You never told me it was going to be country.
Well, that was sort of what I was thinking. I was wondering if you did describe it that way to begin with, because a lot of these are just like classic tunes, and in a lot of ways, Mark, the songs you brought, you wouldn't necessarily fit into sort of classic country.
Well, I think that the stuff that I brought in has some relation to it. I mean, before there was country and western, there was regional country musics, and certainly the Conray Fontenot tune would have certainly fit into that.
Right.
And you brought Dang Me In. That's an old Roger
Miller
song. Oh, yes.
That's right. If that's not country, what is?
Talk a little bit about that Fontenot tune, the Bartola Prism. Where did that one come from?
A friend of mine who's a fiddler sent me a beautiful recording of Conray Fontenot performing that. It's his tune, and it kind of knocked me out. And I mean, the lyric is actually in Cajun French, but somehow I got it translated, and I dug it.
Goodbye, dear old mom. Goodbye, poor old dad. Goodbye, all my brothers and my dear little sister. I've been known for the rest of my life to the bars of the prison. I ran around, no good. I had a hard head. I got into a fight, and now I'm condemned for the rest of my life to the bars of the prison. Mm-hmm. son moi, je t'aimais, je revois. Toi t'étais condamné pour la balance de ta vie dans le bar de la prison. Dear mama, don't you cry for me now. You do better to pray for that baby at your breast, to save his young soul from the cold flames of hell and the bars of the prison.
That's our guest, Majestic Silver Strings, in rehearsal for their one and only, their world tour, which we will hopefully be playing you parts of later on. That is Bar de la Prison, the one that Mark Rebo sings. And Bill, I understand that Freight Train was one you suggested to the crowd.
Yeah, I can't remember why that came into my mind, but it's just one of those things that a lot of guitar players, maybe not the first thing they learn, but it's one of those.
Yeah, it was like the first finger-picking thing I ever learned.
I think it was the first finger-picking thing I learned, too.
And I still can't play it right. Good to have another whack at it.
Greg, Greg Lees, in the liner notes of this, you thank your mother for being the inspiration for you to becoming a musician. How did she inspire you?
Well, it's sort of an ongoing inspiration, actually, with my mom. I try to make it, you know, somewhat brief. But when she was a young woman, before she got married, she was an operatic singer, or she was studying to be an operatic singer, and she sang light opera in New York City for about a year. She got a job. She lived on the West Coast, and when she got married to my dad, it all stopped. But, you know, music was really important to her. And even though she didn't continue engaging in it in any kind of significant way, except for, you know, maybe singing in church, she encouraged all her kids to play an instrument. And I started out on piano, and it didn't really work out. I didn't have a teacher inspired me to want to play that instrument, but she basically got a guitar and had it sitting around the house, I think, partly to entice me to maybe try something else. And I picked it up and just immediately fell in love with the guitar and started playing the guitar. But she's still, at this point in her life, she's continuing. She's lost her eyesight, and now she's got back to singing again, and it's actually an inspiring thing to, you know, I actually see where I got my musical, and I never really realized that when I was younger, but only in the last few years I realized that's kind of where the musicality that I have, if I have it, came from. And she's an incredibly intuitive, melodic person. She doesn't remember lyrics so much anymore, but she can remember melodies of songs that she hasn't sung or even heard in, you know, 50 years.
When and how did you start being attracted to, you know, tackling the many strings of the steel?
When I was in my early 20s, I started to become kind of drawn to the instrument, mainly because I was hearing it. And I originally just wanted to get a steel player in my band, basically. I really wasn't interested in being that person, but I didn't know anybody, and ultimately I just ended up becoming that guy instead of finding somebody. I just loved the sound and I was drawn to it, but originally it was more of, the idea was more of, I've got to have that sound around me. And I at the time I really didn't have any, I didn't know anybody. I learned to play it pretty much without any mentors or anything until a little bit later when I actually, after I got into it. So
wow, so that's a tough instrument to teach yourself, I would think.
It would be easy to give up at some point, but there's a certain point you get past a certain level where you're pretty much on your way, and it's not rocket science. It's not something that you know anybody could learn it, I think. Like Buddy Miller over there, he plays it.
No, it's rocket science. I couldn't. I was just the world's worst.
Buddy, I was thinking of the selections of the songs on this vis-a-vis you, because you have a legendary hard drive with, you know, umpteen thousand songs on it. I had a chance to hear some of the selections on the recent Keamo cruise where you played the music before the shows. Was country music one of the first things you were drawn to, or were you, what was your kind of progression? Because I'm sure there's a lot more than just country music on that hard drive.
Yeah, I liked it all, you know, anything I heard. I loved country music real early on. And then when that psychedelic stuff came out, I was really, you know, as much enamored with that as I was anything else. And blues, I just listened to it all. And, you know, just wanted to try and play it. Wasn't able to, but I sure loved, you know, listening to it and going to see it.
And did gospel just come along with that? Because you recently won that Grammy for the album you and Patty Griffin did together.
Yeah, it moves me. It's usually the song or the singer or something going on in it. I can't tell why, but.
And Bill Frisell, you grew up in pretty much the same era. And what was the first music you were attracted to as a listener and then with playing?
Well, I think possibly, you know, growing up in the 50s, just as rock and roll was getting going, and it was really, for me, was like surf music was the thing that got me really fired up. Just a little few years before the Beatles came out, seemed like people were starting to get guitars, and I was hearing it all the time on the radio. Or even a little bit before that, American Bandstand, like when it was still where was it? In Philadelphia.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I used to watch that and the Four Seasons, those kind of bands.
Surf music was great because you know, at that age you didn't have to sing. I mean, you know, it's not like you were gonna be able to sing like Chuck Berry.
It was, you know, back. The guitar again was really...
You could
really
play the guitar without singing. It was,
and just the guitars looked so cool, and everything seemed like, you know, there was rocket ships, and the future was... Everything was going to be great, and we were going to go into outer space, and...
Stratocasters, and, yeah. Telecasters.
Yeah, it was all, like, so much promise, and your imagination was just going wild. And so the guitar... And that music just fit right into that.
Right.
I mean, I was living in Colorado when I was buying surf magazines, and I wanted to get a surfboard. I don't know what I was going to do with it.
Salt Lake Surfer.
But, and then the Beatles, and then the Rolling Stones, and it just, everything went nuts there for a while.
So the reality is you all learned Pipeline before you learned Freight Train.
That's true.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
I have to confess. That might have been the first one.
Well, there's a wonderful version of Freight Train. I was wondering if you guys could do a version of that for us today.
Okay.
That is Freight Train, and that is one you will find, the Elizabeth Cotton tune that you will find a version of that our guest today, the Majestic Silver Strings, do on the new album, which is masquerading as Buddy Miller's new album. You did a fast one there, buddy. You got a chance to play with your friends and get something coming out with your name on it.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily mean for it that to happen. It's a collaborative thing.
Mark, I actually don't know much about your beginning musically. I you know, I've always
listened to surf music too.
Did you? Did you grow up in New York, or where did you grow up?
I grew up in New Jersey, but it wasn't that far from New York, and in fact, it was even closer to Newark. And so, you know, my first garage band in junior high school, the first two tunes that we learned were Green Onion by Booker T and the MGs, and also Midnight Hour by Wilson Pickett, and also Backdoor Man by The Doors, Backdoor Man, which we thought was by The Doors. So, yeah, and then a lot of surf music too. But you know, one thing that I mean, this project and some of the musics we've been talking about have in common are they're real. It's really the language of the guitar. It's what guitars like to do, if they're not, you know, forced to do unnatural things. I mean, I've tried to play jazz on a guitar and with limited, you know, well, with not very much success, and it's possible and it's doable, but I mean, sounding like a saxophone isn't what a guitar really wants to do. It kind of does want to play pipeline.
Well, it's interesting. With the prosthetic Cubans, you of course explored some other guitar music from Cuba, and I can see elements of surf music and all this in all that as well. It's interesting.
Yeah, that's for exactly the reasons we've been discussing.
Well, this would not be a Buddy Miller record, I think, if Lefty Frizzell wasn't represented in some way or another. And there's a couple of Lefty Frizzell songs on here. But also, you and Mark get to do George Jones's Why Baby Why. And how did that come to be on the album?
Well, I think we just needed another song that kind of had a beat to it.
Yeah, Buddy suggested it, and it was great.
And it is a good one. So here are our guests, the Majestic Silver Strings, live on stage at the Grammy Museum with Why Baby Why.
Well, tell me why, baby, why, baby? Why, baby, why you make me cry, baby, cry, baby? Cry, baby, cry. I can't help but love you till the day that I die. Tell me why, baby, why, baby? Why, baby, why? With you, like the last time when the feathers flew, you're running wild, kicking up your heels, leaving me home with a handful of bills. I called you honky tonking with my best friend. The thing to do was leave you, and I should have left then. Now I'm too old to leave you, but I still get sore. Why, baby, why you make me cry, baby, cry?
The Majestic Silver Strings at their debut and their farewell concert today.
Well, don't say that.
Well, they're goodbye, you're on hiatus, I'm sure, now, if we'll put it that way. But what a wonderful opportunity to, for us to listen in on this this session and be able to hear this music. It sounds like it was just it's actually a nice little film that comes with this album. It just looks like it was a whole lot of fun to hang out at Buddy's and make this record. So thank you all so much for the music.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thank you.
The Majestic Silver Strings, our guests here on the World Cafe.